Nudzai Amid Aleph, 59 to the top, 57A1. It says, Itmar, we'll go through this quickly because we learned it last week. Itmar, Tzipari, Mitzayim, Amasei Asurim. The Mishnah said that if you do Kedushin with the birds that a leper has to bring, it's not a good Kedushin because they're forbidden to benefit from. Anything you can benefit from, you can't do Kedushin. So the Gemara says, the story is like this. There's two birds. One bird you shecht, the second bird you dip their wings into the blood of the bird, and then you send that bird free. Okay? So it says, when do the birds of a leper become forbidden to benefit from? So Rabbi Yechanan Amar Mishah Shechita, when you shecht one bird, both birds become forbidden. But when you take them, now that even before you shecht them, as soon as you take them for the two birds, they become forbidden to benefit from. And then it says, Rabbi Yechanan Amar Mishah Shechita. Rabbi Yechanan explains, why does he say from the time of Shechita? Because Shechita, the Asr Allah, the Shechita is what makes the birds forbidden. In other words, when does it become bird of a leper? When you shecht it. So that's what makes it forbidden. From the time you take it, because egla rufa nafke. He learns it out from what's called the egla rufa. Meaning, ma egla rufa mechayim, just say egla rufa. Becomes forbidden. Egla rufa is the calf, you know, you find a dead body outside the city, you chop off the head, and I'll get it. You chop off the head. So it says, even when it's alive, it's forbidden to benefit from. So, afti peyde mitzayde mechayim. The Gemara says, egla rufa gufa meyamasei. When does an egla rufa, the calf that you take because you have to chop off its head, when does that become forbidden to benefit from? Amr Rabbi Yane said like this. Gvul shamaiti bo, I heard something, v'shachati, I forgot it. And the colleagues, his friends, the chevra, in the yeshiva said to him, Yuridosan and Nachaleson, when it goes down into the Hard Rock Valley, then that's when it becomes forbidden. Okay? Meaning like this. Okay, this is a very simple Gemara. The Gemara is just trying to figure out the thing that we learned before in the Mishnah, forbidden to benefit from. The birds of a leper, egla rufa, right? You find the calf, you take it, the Torah says you bring it down to a rocky place, and in the rocky place, you chop off its head of the calf. And you say that, just like this guy was killed, because nobody took care of him, it's the same thing, the calf is killed. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yane says, I heard once, but the friends reminded him, that from the time you take the calf and bring it down to the rocky place, that's when the calf becomes forbidden. But it's still alive. It's still alive. So you see, even a live egla rufa is forbidden to benefit from. And the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, we learn out the two birds of a leper. When a leper finishes a leprosy, he has to bring two birds. Like we said, one you shecht, and one you make it fly away. Okay? So, Reish Lakish holds, just like the egla rufa becomes forbidden when it's alive still, so the same thing, the birds, even before you shecht them, they become forbidden. And Rabbi Yechanan says, no, when do the birds become forbidden to benefit from? When you shecht it, that's when the Torah says it becomes forbidden. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so the Gemara is asking on Reish Lakish, Ima egla rufa, mishas l'kichol imitzra. If that's the case, when does egla rufa become forbidden? The calf? When you bring it down to a rocky place. Not when you buy it. The Gemara is asking Reish Lakish, you don't make sense. You say, the birds of leper becomes forbidden as soon as you buy them. Where does he learn it out from? From the calf that becomes forbidden when it's still alive, but when you take it down the cliff. Yeah? So Gemara says, if that's the case, just like egla rufa is not forbidden when you buy it. When you take it, it's only forbidden once it goes down to the valley.
Goat or cow? Goat.
Calf.
A calf. Yeah. A baby cow. Yeah. So, the same way, the birds should also be forbidden, not when you buy them, but later on. Reish Lakish says, just like the calf is only forbidden when it goes down, but it's still alive, the same thing, the birds are forbidden when you buy them, when you take them. So he says, 1 minute. The calf doesn't become forbidden when you take it. You have to first take it down the cliff, and then it becomes forbidden. So why are the birds forbidden as soon as you get them? So he says, well, what's the comparison? Hasam is the gvul achrina. By Egla Arufa, there's different stages. Okay? There's a stage of taking it, getting it. Then there's a stage of bringing it down. And then you kill it. Okay? So, Egla Arufa is forbidden. When do you start the process? When you take it down. By the birds, there's not three steps. There's only two steps. Taking it and killing it. So the Shulchan says, there is no middle, like Egla becomes forbidden when you bring it down, because that's a part. That's a thing that's done. It's a process. But by the birds, one thing Reish Lakish says, from Egla Arufa we learn out that even while it's still alive, it's forbidden. Now, if the birds are mature, the only thing alive that you're doing is taking them. There's no other process being done to them besides the Shechita. But here we're saying it's forbidden when they're still alive. So here, Mirsay Gvul Achrina. Okay. So the bottom line is, the Gemara says like this, when the birds of the leper become forbidden, the Shlokish says when you take them, the Biyachanan says when you shech them. Okay? Because we have to know, when you do Kedushin with a woman, when does it become forbidden? I mean, when it becomes, that's word, that you can't use it. You can't do Kedushin with it because they're not, you can't benefit from it. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Eisei, Rabbi Yechon, and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon asked the question to Reish Lakish. It says in the pasuk like this: Kol tzipor teheru techelu. Any kosher bird you could eat. So Gemara says, what does that mean? The Rabbi is esam shulachas. It comes to include that a bird of the metzeda, which is sent away, after it's sent away, if somebody finds it and shechts it, they can eat it. Now, the Torah could have said, kosher birds you can eat. The Torah says, all kosher birds you can eat. What's the all? It's including something. So the Gemara said, the Braisa says, it includes that even the bird that you sent away, because one bird, again, of the leper you shecht, second bird you send away. That means what happens if somebody later catches the bird? Right, and shechts it, it's also kosher.
Because it doesn't know that this bird is... No,
1 second. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Even if he knows, he can do it. Even if he knows. Because, I'll tell you why. The Gemara is going to say this soon. If it's forbidden, how could the Torah allow to send out a bird where somebody might unknowingly eat it if it's forbidden? So therefore, the pasuk is saying, no, it's kosher. You can eat it. Once the process was done, send it away, it's kosher. But then the Torah says, "Bezah shalei teichlu." This is what you're not allowed to eat. The Rabbi says a shchuta, that the shechted bird of the leper cannot be eaten. Okay, now listen to this. Again, there's two birds, right? There's the shechted bird and the sent away bird. So the pasuk says like this: you can eat the bird that's sent away, but you can't eat the shechted bird.
The same person, they can eat with different.
Doesn't matter. It's edible or not edible. Doesn't matter who. So the Gemara says, "V'isakadaitech michayim masudo." If, like the Shlokish holds, the bird, even when it's live, is forbidden. So why does it tell me lacha shchita mi boy? Why does it have to tell me that after shchita you can't? Before shchita you also couldn't. Meaning like this. Reish Lakish says, when is the bird forbidden? Even before you shecht it.
When you buy it?
It's already forbidden. Now, the Braise comes along and says, after you shecht it, it's forbidden. But it was forbidden the whole time. What do you mean after the Shechita is forbidden? According to Reish Lakish, it was forbidden before the Shechita. Rabbi Yechon says, according to me, it makes sense. I say before the Shechita, it's allowed. After the Shechita, it's forbidden. But you that say it's always forbidden, so why does the Torah have to tell me if you shecht it becomes forbidden? It was forbidden before also.
But when you buy it, you know which one you're going
to... No. It doesn't really matter. Well, yeah, it could be, you know.
But you got one, it's okay. So.
Like by Yom Kippur, the two goats,
yeah.
Over there, they didn't know. They threw cats lots.
Yeah.
But here, there's no lots. It's one bird you take and one bird you... That's it. It doesn't matter.
Both of them are forbidden.
But this is after recovery. After recovery.
Reish Lakish says it's forbidden as soon as you buy it.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan says only after the Shechita. Rabbi Yochanan after Reish Lakish, in the Brayis it says after the Shechita, you're not allowed to eat it. He said, but you couldn't do it before the Shechita either. According to you, it was forbidden the whole time. So he says, no, I would think that you could. Mao the tame, I would think, it's like hegdish. It's like a carbon. Before you shecht the carbon, it's holy. Right? After you shecht it, the carbon, then the Kayanim could eat it, the Yisrael could eat it, it's edible. So I would think the same thing over here.
Not the sin.
No, the sin offering not. But for us, a shechita. I would think that the shechita what comes and makes it allowed. So the answer is, Kamash Malon, it still makes it straight. It still remains straight. Rabbi Yechanan asked Reish Lakish, why does the Torah need to tell me after the Shechita you can't eat it, before the Shechita you can't either? He said, I'll tell you why I would think so. Because that's like a carbon. Before you shecht it, you can't use it. After you shecht it as a carbon, the Kohanim eat it, the Jew, the owner eat it, whatever, many times. So he said, I would think in this case with the bird of the Mitzvah too. Before you shecht it, you can't eat it. I would think after you shecht it, you can eat it like a carbon. So the Torah says, no, you can't eat it. But the bird that you sent away, that you could eat. If somebody gets it and shechts it and so on. Okay, then it says like this. Eisei, Rabbi Yechon asks a different question. It says in the Braisim, shechta v'nimsa treifa. If one shechted the bird of the leper, you know, the shechted bird, and it came a trefa. Trefa means it had a certain blemish, like even today. Right? You shecht an animal, you have to check the lungs and the stomach and, the bodek, as it's called, the shecht. So he says, what happens if somebody shechted this Mitzvah bird that needs to be shechted, and then they opened it up, they see, oy, it's a treifa bird. Treifa means there's a blemish in it. So yikach zug l'shniya, you have to take a mate for the second one. In other words, like this, you don't need to take two new birds, just one new bird. That's what the Bryce is saying. You bring two birds. The leper brings two birds. One you shecht, one you send away. So now you shecht this one, you open it up, it's no good. So I would think maybe you need two new birds. He says, no, one bird is enough. Get a new bird, shecht it, and the other one you send
what
away.
What is the reason? Because you don't eat it. There's no... Why you want to be good to eat it, though? This reason should be...
Disrespectful. Also, before they burn the shechted bird, they check it?
What, in the basement? You have to shecht it.
I thought they just threw it in a
wall. No.
The belt or something?
Yeah, used to check it and make sure.
And
yeah, if it wasn't a kosher animal, they had to be bring another one.
They check it before they shake.
Yeah.
They check the legs and also the wings.
They are checking every chicken that we
eat? Yeah.
And the base of Megdash, they check.
But now we don't do it.
Should they do? Are you kidding?
Every chicken?
Yeah.
We kill it.
No.
That's why you have a mashgiach. A lot of mashgiachim in the big schlacht, the slaughterhouses. Okay? But they shecht a lot. You would be shocked how many shecht they shecht.
A minute?
A minute?
No, 20 minutes or half
hour? No, it goes on a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
A shecht shechts approximately in the big companies between 1,000 and 1,200 an hour.
Yeah.
And then it goes on the conveyor belt today, not like years ago, you shechted a chicken and you took it and you opened it. And today it goes conveyor belts, right? So there's a goyim there. They get the chicken ready for the sheichet. You know what they did? Okay. All the sheichet does like this. Next. Then he checks the knife every so often and then. But you have a lot of mashgichim at the end when they salt the chicken, right? So they salt the chicken and then you need. The insides come out anyway. So they need the mashgich. There's a lot of mashgichim there. That's what they do in a slaughterhouse. They check. Of course you have to check each chicken.
With the number of chicken that they kill, it's almost impossible.
But they have a lot of mashgichim.
Glad kosher.
No, chicken, there's no thing as glad kosher.
Yeah, but meat, steaks,
the glad means that the lungs are smooth.
Super understand that. You know what I mean.
By the way, that's not true.
Is that true?
You don't speak Yiddish. You have to learn Yiddish. Glat is a Yiddish word that means smooth. That's what the word glat means. When you say this is glat, this is smooth. Okay? This is smooth. Something rough is nishglat. Glat is a Yiddish word that means smooth. Okay? What does this mean? We're going off the topic a little bit, but one of the primary things that need to be checked is the lungs. Because the lungs a lot of times get what's called a sircha. Sircha is growths. Now, certain growths are kosher. Certain growths are not kosher. Okay? That's why you need to, the mashgich, I'm talking about in a meat slaughterhouse, okay? They need to check the lung of each animal to make sure, one of the primary things, they check other things too, the stomach, but they need to check the lungs to make sure there's no sirchas, growths, that render it not kosher. There's certain other types of growths that render it kosher, but it's not the best. When you say the lung is glat, it means the lung is smooth, that there's no growths. Okay, even that they cheat a little bit. But officially, glat means that the lungs are smooth. So because of that, glat kosher became an expression of very kosher. Okay, you can't say glat kosher dairy products. It's a ridiculous statement. Okay, that's why on a chicken lung there's very little problem. So you don't need to have glat chicken. They write glat kosher because people in their mind say, "Oh, it's very kosher." Okay, my house is glat kosher. Glat kosher people mean very kosher, but that's not what it means. Okay, glat means glat is an expression in Yiddish. It means smooth. That means the lung is smooth, there's no growth on it.
Yeah. That's what you say for the meat.
Yeah.
Like steaks, it tastes like that, yeah.
Meat.
Cool. Yeah. Not the chicken.
Kosher, they check the lungs, but they don't, they stick the lungs together. But they say kosher. But glad kosher.
There's various different levels of all this. Okay? I'm just saying, so. They have to check the chickens. They have to check in the base and make the shosel. Now, here the Gemara tells us a case that Rabbi Yechon is asking in Rish Lakish. They shechted the Matura bird, the one bird that needed to be shechted. They opened it up and it became treif. So now it's not a kosher carbon. Okay? It's not a carbon either. I mean, you shechted. Okay? So they have to bring another one. Okay? That's what he says. Now, Varishayna Muteres Bahano. The first bird, okay? Now you can benefit from.
Can you use it?
You can't eat it because it's treif, right? Yeah. The stump. But you can benefit from it. Why could you benefit from it? So the Be'echon says like this. The Braise. It's a very interesting thing. We just said the birds are forbidden to benefit from. Right? Mm. But if you shechted it, and it came out not to be kosher, that means this shechita, it was never a Mitzorah bird. It was a mistaken Mitzorah bird. So therefore it became permitted now. If it's a kosher shechita, then it's forbidden. But if it's not a kosher shechita, that means it was never retroactively that going backwards, you see, it wasn't a kosher bird, so it's mutter bana.
What is
Sell it. Sell it to a guy. Give it to the animal. Whatever. So he said, well, this is... says to the Shlokish like this. If you're telling me the bird, according to you, was always forbidden, so how is Shechita going to make it permissible if it was always forbidden? Even before you shechted it. Amalei, so he said like this. You're right. Hachab Mayaskinen is speaking. It was treif in the internal organs. Meaning, it was never kosher to begin with. That means, why did it become treifa? Because it was a sick bird to begin with. It was never kosher. So therefore, retroactively, it never became a bird, even according to Rish Lakish, it never became a bird, even when it was alive, that was forbidden.
But how come it's counted as true from the beginning? Because now you say you can just buy one?
Because the other one you send away is still good.
Because originally we have to get two simultaneously at the same time.
That's what he's saying. That even though you get two at the beginning, so that's what he's saying. You all you need to do is get one, not two, because the other one is still good.
Because okay. They are not kosher the first step.
Because it was never kosher animal to begin with. So therefore, this that you picked it was a mistake.
So
he
can benefit.
Correct. Now, Rabbi Yechanan asks a different question to Reish Lakish. Now, the din is like this. Not only do you shech two birds, there's a whole process in this leprosy, getting out of leprosy is a whole process. Okay? You have to bring two birds. Then you have to bring what's called the Ezeiv, the hyssop grass, the Eitzara cedar tree, and Shni Talas, crimson thread. You have to do all these things together. We learned about it in Chumash class a while ago. Yeah, you have all these three things. Now, from the Torah it comes out that these five things are to come together. Both birds, together with the grass, the wood, and the thread. They have to be together. So what happens? Shachta Shalei Be'ezev, Shalei Be'etzeres, with Shalei B'Shani Salas. What happens? The guy shechted the bird, but he didn't have prepared the other stuff yet. He jumped the gun. First you're supposed to prepare the stuff, then you shecht the bird. This guy shechted the bird before he did the stuff. So Rabbi Yaakov Eimar, Rabbi Yaakov says, Hoyol v'huksel mitzvasa asura. The fact that the bird was designated for the mitzvah, it becomes prohibited. In other words, even though it's not a kosher shechita, even though it wasn't a kosher shechita because you didn't have the other three things with you, but the bird, because it was designated for it, it remains forbidden. Rabbi Yaak, Rabbi Shimon.
Benefit of them?
Huh?
Forbidden benefit?
Yeah, yeah. Rabbi Shimon says, no, hoyo v'nishlicha shalei l'kmitzvasa, because the shechita was not done good, mutaris it is allowed. In other words, like this, we just learned in the Braisa, if you shechted it and became treif, it's mutar, because it was never a good shechita. Okay? Now, what happens, this is a different case in the Braisa. You shechted it, the animal was good, but you didn't have the three things, you didn't have the grass, the wood, and the thread. Okay? So one opinion says, the shechit is not good. That's a given. Everybody says you got to do it again. A new bird. Okay? So Rabbi Yaakov says, but this bird you can't benefit from anymore. Because it was designated for the mitzvah, the bird. The bird is a kosher bird. The guy just shechted at the wrong time. Because he didn't have the grass and the wood. But the shechit was good. The animal is not a problem. So it's forbidden to benefit from that animal. Rabbi Shimon says no. Bottom line, was the shechita kosher? No. Did you have the other three things with you? No. Is the shechita kosher? No. If the shechita is not kosher, the animal now is mutar. you can benefit from it. Rabbi Yaakov says you cannot benefit from the chicken that you shechted, I mean the bird, that you shechted, and Rabbi Shimon says you could.
The bird was not complete, it's not kosher, it's not healthy to do for the shechita.
Correct.
So
the question over here is, this is different than the other case. The other case, the bird was not kosher. Yes. It was treif.
So this is not different? No,
the bird is... Here the bird is good.
Oh.
What was the problem?
The
he didn't bring the other three things ready. So Rabbi Yaakov says, 1 minute. The bird was designated for a mitzvah. There's nothing wrong with the bird. So therefore the bird remains holy. You have to bring another bird because you didn't do it right. Because you have to shecht it after you have the other three things there. And he didn't. But he says the bird is holy.
He can't wait to go prepare the other 3 minutes.
He didn't. The guy was supposed to wait for the shechita, but he didn't. He was ignorant, whatever. According to
but in this case that the bird was good. And the shechita is good, and it's accepted.
But the shechita is not kosher.
But what does it mean now? It's accepted, and yet
you have to bring another bird and shecht.
You have to start all over again.
Right.
You have to bring the tree.
The three weren't there yet. Right.
You cannot use this bird anymore. You cannot benefit.
Well, no. Rabbi Yaakov says no. Rabbi Shimon says you could.
But why he said he could?
Because the shechita wasn't good. Bottom line is, you have to bring another bird. So this bird is like... Rabbi Yaakov says, what do you mean? It's not the bird's fault. The bird is good. The bird was designated for a mitzvah. So then he can't benefit from the bird.
Rabbi Shimon is all right, but the other one, both have a good argument.
There's two opinions. What's his liyaz? What's the halacha? The halacha is like Rabbi Yaakov. That is also.
Which one is that?
The one that says it's forbidden. Okay, he says like this. But he asks the Rish Lakish like this. What is the argument between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon? The argument is, Rabbi Yaakov says, even though the Shechita was not really good, because he didn't have the three things, it's still called a good Shechita. And Rish Lakish holds, Leishmei shechita is not a good shechita, right? But everybody agrees that miya mechayim leMitasra. But everybody agrees that the bird is not forbidden when it's alive. The only question is after the shechita, right? Because if the bird was no good already to benefit from as soon as you took it, why is shechita going to change that? Why would Rav Shimon say now you could use the bird? If the bird was always forbidden, it should remain forbidden. So the Gemara answers like this. You're right. Reish Lakish says you're right. Some people say like you, but there are people that say like me. There are Tanoim that say like you, and there are Tanoim that say like me. And he says Tanoim, it's actually a dispute between various Tanoim. Some people say the bird is forbidden from the time you take it. Some people say the bird is forbidden from the time of Shechita. Because it says, Tanya Devei Rabbi Shmuel, the academy, the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, taught the following. Nemeh Machshe Mechapa Bifnim, about the bird inside the Beis HaMikdash, it uses the word kosher and forgiveness. And it says kosher mechaper by chutz, which is done outside the Beis HaMikdash when you send away the bird. Ma machshe mechaper on bebefnim, just like the inside, the qualifying that the bird is kosher and the forgiveness. Also be machshe kemechaper. We liken the qualifying right, mean that it's a kosher bird, like a bird that forgives. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Af machshir o mechaper omer b'chutz. The same thing regarding the machshir, the qualifying the bird, and forgiveness, which is said in the outside, also be machshir ke mechaper, meaning like this. Just like eglar ufa, which is done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? The bird is forbidden when it's alive. So Rabbi Shmuel says the same thing. The birds of Mitzvah, which are done inside, inside the Beis HaMikdash, it also is forbidden when it's alive. So Rabbi Shmuel clearly says that the birds of Metzeira, we learn out from Egla Arufa, just like Rish Lakish did before, and therefore they're forbidden even when they're alive.
We learn that Chumash, anything that touches the Mizbeach becomes kosher, becomes sanctified.
Right.
But anything that comes into Beit HaMikdash maybe?
No.
For that purpose?
Only these birds. If you walk in with your jacket into Beit HaMikdash, it becomes holy.
You bring for the sake of sacrifice.
Then it's sacrificed before.
Before.
The Beit HaMikdash doesn't make it holy. In other words, and this is the discussion in the Gemara here. When I designate something, basically becomes holy. Okay? But the birds of Mitzvah are not brought as a carbon. One you shecht and one you send away. They're not a carbon. But the Shechita makes that bird the Mitzvah bird, according to Rabbi Eichnan. Reish Lakish says, no, just taking it to bring also makes it already a Mitzvah bird.
Where do they burn it?
They burn it not on the Mizbeach.
Outside.
Yeah.
Where they burn the skin.
Whatever. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Kufa, we learned before, okay, we're four lines in the end of the page. Gufa, we learned before in the Gemara, the Gemara brought down a braisa like this. Called Tzipor Tehera Tochelu. Any kosher bird you can eat, meaning the bird that you send away, right, the bird that you send away, if somebody finds it and shechts it, good. These are the ones you're not allowed to eat, that even after you shechted it, right, after you shecht the Mitzvah bird, you can't eat it. So the Gemara says, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the bird that you send away, in other words like this, one pasuk says, all birds you can eat, and then the second pasuk says, you can't eat. Right? So the Gemara said, the bird you sent away, you could eat. The bird that you shecht, you can't. So Gemara says, maybe it's reverse. Maybe the bird that you shecht, you could eat. And the bird that you send away, maybe you can't eat. How do you know it's this way? Maybe it's the other way. We never find live animals which are permanently forbidden. We don't find such a thing. No, that's why the Brice is like this. There's two issues over here. There's the bird that's sent away, and there's the one that shecht it. One is kosher, one is not. So the Brice has said the statement before. The bird that's sent away is kosher, the shechted one is not. So I said maybe it's reverse. Maybe the shechted bird is kosher, and the bird you send away is not kosher. So Rabbi Yochanan says, because we never find in Torah, the Gemara is going to ask on this, but we never find in Torah a bird that's alive is forbidden.
A bird, not an animal.
Right. That a kosher bird should become forbidden.
How come?
No, he says even live animals, b'chal balichaim, all the animals.
How come? The firstborn animal.
How come?
Over there you shecht it.
How come when you have it ordered, is not kosher? Is live animal? It's not kosher. When it's live, what's the difference? I say live animal is not kosher. It's not.
No, because when the animal sent away.
Sent away? You're talking about live animal.
The bird is sent away.
It's free.
It's a live animal. We never find live animals to be treif.
If you hold the live animal in the head before you ran away.
Then it's forbidden because it's part of the process.
Wait, doesn't a Nazir, when he brings, if he does it, if. He breaks his vow, doesn't the animal have to, you have to put it in a box and let it starve to death, don't you?
No, you have to shecht it. If he gets a blemish, that's what you do.
So
the Gemara is going to discuss this because, it's a funny statement the Gemara says. Okay. He says, Masko Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak says, V'loi, we don't find live animals that are forbidden. Harei muktza v'neved de balichayim. An animal that somebody designated for idol sacrifices. Or an animal that was venevad. Or an animal that was worshipped. Somebody, let's say, in India, they worship the cow, right? Yeah. If somebody bows down to a cow, it's an object of Aveda Zodah. right? Yeah. So you can't shechter and it's alive.
Or animal that was purchased with the
right, the same thing.
Right.
No, that's only not good for a carbon. That's only not good for a carbon. No, you can shecht it. Yeah, you can fill it up. Why not? Fill up time. So he says like this. So we see that an animal that was worshipped is alive, and it is forbidden. You're saying a statement, we never find live animals that are forbidden. Here you find the case. So the Gemara answer is no. Ki asiri l'gavaya, they're only forbidden for Hashem. Lehed yit mishya shoreh, but for a common person they're allowed.
Once again.
Okay, the Gemara learns out. It's funny that the Gemara says this, but anyway. The Gemara says like this. We learn out from a pasuk in Chumash that animals that you worship cannot be brought as a carbon. Okay? So the Gemara says, you see, as a carbon, they're forbidden. So the Gemara says, yeah, but they're only forbidden as a carbon, but not for everybody else.
Not for anyone comes up.
Right. That means the Gemara is saying now that if a guy worshipped an animal, you could shech the animal and eat it.
You can't do that.
Huh?
You can't do that. That's
what Gemara seems to imply here. But the Gemara is going to change the mind. That's what I'm saying. Mask of law. Rabbi Yirmi asks, one minute, we find other animals which are forbidden. Hareveya v'nirba, an animal that had relations with a person. Right? The Torah says, v'nirba be'edim was performed in the presence of witnesses. The balichayim ninu, they're balichayim, animals living, and they're forbidden even for people. Okay? Remember we learned before Shara Niskol, an ox that was stoned. We learned before it's also forbidden to benefit. And that's not only for a carbon, that's for everybody. So we do find animals which are forbidden for everybody. So how can you say we never find animals which are forbidden, and therefore the sent away bird is always allowed? The Gemara changes it. Says like this: Loi matzino roiv balichaim tmei. Most animals. In other words, like this: yes, you're right. Most of the time, sometimes I mean, animals are forbidden even when they're alive. Most of the time, living animals are not. So therefore now, we have a choice between a living bird sent away or the shechted bird. Which one should be allowed? So the Gemara explains, the Braisa says, if it's shechted, it's forbidden. If it's alive, it's allowed. That's what the Gemara came to that. It's cold. You cold?
It's cold.
No, just
so you can close the door. You're cold.
Yeah, just awake though.
That's really hot.
I thought
heat was good for the bones. Yeah,
I'll make it
up.
It's windy.
Yeah. So this is the majority, and if you're going by majority,
No, it's like this. You have a choice here, okay? One bird is mutter, one bird is forbidden.
The other case, now this is okay.
No, he's explaining though why. The Gemara's question was, why are we saying the sent away bird is permissible? And the shechted bird is forbidden, maybe the opposite. She said, because most of the time in Torah, we see that living birds are allowed. So if it's a choice of living bird allowed, or a shechted bird allowed, we're going to pick the living bird allowed. And therefore the living bird is allowed, and the shechted bird isn't. The Gemara is going to explain another reason why the living sent away bird is allowed. Because the pasuk says like this: V'shilach al pnei asada. The Torah says by leper, by the matura, you send away the living bird to the field. On the field, masada muteres. Just like a field, you can benefit from. Afhainami muteres, the bird is also permissible. In other words, like this, the Gemara's question is, why does the Torah say, send away the bird in the field. What's the difference where you send away the bird? The Torah says, send away the bird in the field. So the Gemara says, what's the extra word teaching us? That it's like a field. A field is allowed, the bird is allowed. Because the word field is an extra word. The Torah could say, just send away the bird. But the Gemara says, no. The sadeh is needed. We need the word sadeh. Because ahu mi boile, we need it. L'chitanya says it like this. What does it mean, send away the bird in the field? Shloyamid biyafo, you shouldn't stand in Jaffa, and throw it into the sea. Jaffa is next to the ocean. The Gemara said, no, the Torah says for this field for a reason. You can't send away the bird over the ocean. You can't be gavas, you can't stand in Gabas, which is next to the desert, to throw it into the desert. You cannot stand outside the city and throw it into the city. What does the Torah teach us? You need to stand in the city and throw it over the fence to outside the city to the field. So the Gemara says, how can you say that the word Sada teaches me there's an extra word, teaching me that you send that just like a field is allowed, the bird after you send it away is allowed? No, the word field is used somewhere else, for something else. That what? You need to send the bird over the field. You can't send it into the ocean. You can't send it into a desert. You can't send it into a city. You need to send it into the field.
To get the food or just... Isn't that they send it?
No, it's exerts a cause basically. Torah just says send it out that way.
That bird, if it was sent to Beit HaMikdash, it would be prohibited, right?
Yeah. So yes. If it would end up back in the. Yeah, they could use it. If somebody did know, they brought the bird. They didn't. The bird had a little bit of blood on it because he took the wings and dipped it into the blood. But technically, if somebody brought the bird back to the Beit HaMikdash, they could take it as a carbon. Why not?
The person immediately send it to the field and run after it and catch it and shecht it, or you have to kind of let it to you?
No, you couldn't. You could chase a bird. I mean, yeah, you could. Technically, you can chase the bird. The problem is, usually the hunters would use bow and arrows in the olden days. So once you pierce it with an arrow, you're probably going to make it a non-kosher animal for shechita. Or if you shoot it, it's not going to be kosher anymore. To eat. I mean, you still benefit from it, but...
Some birds, they used to the place. They know the place. If you send them out, they come back the same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Puffins they catch with a net. I don't know if those are kosher birds, but they like...
Dolphins?
Puffins.
Oh, puffins.
They're like penguins, but they fly.
Yeah? I mean, technically, if you catch a bird with a net, it's fine.
But you can't eat a penguin.
No, penguins are not kosher.
It's puffin, it's different.
I don't know if it's kosher. People eat it today? It's a bird which is eaten?
It's people eat it in Scandinavia or something.
Oh.
No.
Oh,
boy. I don't know if it's kosher.
What's interesting about birds don't have signs. Like, animals have chewed, cut, and split hooves. Mm-hmm. If the fish have skins and fails. It's skins and fails. Fins and scales. But birds, there's no sign on a bird what makes it kosher or not. It's called Meseda, tradition.
Just as feet.
Tradition.
You cannot see the kosher.
You cannot see a bird if it's kosher or not. No. No.
How do you have a tradition for turkeys?
That's why. The descendants of the Mashal and the Shalah don't eat turkey. The Mashal was in the time of when the Shulchan Aruch was written. He maintained that turkey is not traditionally a kosher bird. So the Halacha is not like him, but most people. But the descendants of the Shalach HaKadosh, he gave over in his will that his descendants should not eat turkey. They don't eat turkey.
Isn't salivation the same thing?
I don't know.
But
birds is not, there's no, you can't look at a bird and see if it's like, you know, a fish. You see the scales, you know it's a kosher fish.
Who made turkey? I didn't know if turkey's kosher now, so who made the decision that you could have turkey?
The pilgrims. When they came to America. And the Mayflower.
I don't know.
No, the Rabbanim, most of the authorities at that time said it was the tradition that it was a kosher bird.
So,
the same thing grasshoppers, by the way. In Morocco, they had a tradition. Certain grasshoppers they knew were good, certain grasshoppers were no good. Today, I mean, outside of that tradition, can't eat grasshoppers today because we don't know which ones are which. They had a tradition that they knew. The same thing with the what's called the hind quarter of the animal, right? So in Eretz Yisrael, they do have it. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there was a tradition of how to do nikah, to take out the veins, which are not kosher, right? But outside of Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is, even if somebody from Israel comes to America who knows how to do it in Israel, here there's a tradition of not eating it, you cannot change the tradition. Even if you have guys in Eretz Yisrael that know how to do it and they come to America, you still can't do it. Because here there's a tradition not eating it.
Can you bring the meat from Israel to here?
No.
Yeah, you can import the meat. Oh, please, of course, that one.
No, but I'm saying I don't think you could eat it here.
Why? You can go to Israel and eat it? Do you live here?
I don't know. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, so how could you tell me, so that teaches me that as soon as you send away the bird, it becomes like the field which is permissible. We need the Sada to teach me you have to send the bird into the field. He said, okay, but there's still an extra letter. The Torah could have said Sada. It says Ha Sada, an extra hay, teaches us both things. Shma minatarti, meaning the word Sada teaches me you have to send the bird out to a field. You can't send it to the ocean, you can't send it into the desert, you can't send it into the city, right? And the extra hate teaches us that just like a field is permissible, the same thing, as soon as you send away the Mitzvah bird, it's permissible. By way, which means, from our Gemara, that if a guy would catch the bird and do Kedusha with a woman, it would be kosher. This that the Mishnah says, the two birds are forbidden to benefit from, right? And therefore you can't do Kedushin. That's the Gemara saying only if you didn't send it away. But if you sent it away, then it's permissible. So then the man can catch the bird, let's say, hypothetically, and give it to the woman. And then it'll be a good Kedushin, because now you could benefit after you send it away. Then you'd be allowed to benefit from it. Okay. Now, Rava says another thing, and this is what we mentioned before. Rava says, you know why the bird is permissible when you send it away? Because otherwise, if it's forbidden, how could the Torah send away such a bird? Somebody's going to find it, not know its treif. The Torah is setting somebody up for sin.
Yeah.
So Rava says, the fact, he's going to say it in the Gemara, the fact that the Torah says send away the bird must mean that once you send it away, you could use it. He says, Rava Amar, Rava says another thing. The Torah will never say send it away, okay, if it's going to be forbidden. In other words, he's really learning differently than the Braisa, but he says, Rava says, it's pure logic that the Torah will not allow something to happen if somebody is going to sin by it. Now, if you send away the bird, right?
Yeah.
And let's say the bird is forbidden, right? A mile down, somebody's going to find that bird.
Right.
They're going to see, look at it, it's a kosher bird. And they're going to use it. Now, if it's forbidden to use, how could the Torah set that guy up for sin? It doesn't make sense. Therefore, we must say, Rava says, logically, besides learning it out from the Psukim, logically, we must say that once you send away the bird is kosher. Otherwise, God is setting up somebody for sin. And that can't be. Okay, now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the hair of a Nazir, right? The Nazir, when he grows his hair and then he cuts it, right? So if somebody gave the woman hair of a Nazir, it's no good. Because it's forbidden to benefit from it. So Gemara says, Minalam, where do we learn this out? That you can't benefit from the hair of a Nazir? How do we know? So it says, Kodeshia Gadol Perasareshe. The Torah says, he should grow the thing of his hair. I mean, it says like this. It shall be holy. The Torah says, like, you should be holy. He should grow the hair. That means the Torah is saying the hair is holy. Like Hagadish. Just like objects of the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot benefit from. The hair of a Nazir is also forbidden to benefit from. So therefore, by the way, you couldn't make a wig out of Nazir hair.
It's not
no, you can't benefit from it.
You
cannot. No. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara right away, yes, if that's the case, if Hegdish, Ma Hegdish, Tefis is Damas V'yetzi L'chulin, so L'chayda, there's a din by Hegdish like this. If you redeem Hegdish, right, the money becomes holy, and the object doesn't. So then if the case should be the same thing, does it become non-Hegdish? It's not true. Why? Because the Mishnah says the hair of a Nazir, no matter what you do with it, you can't do Kedushin. So it's forbidden. So Gemara says, it doesn't say Kedush, it says Kodesh. Kodesh means differently than Hegdish. Kodesh means it's holy. Okay? So the Torah says like this, holy means you can't benefit from it. But it's not Kodesh that if you redeem it, it's okay. Kodesh means you can't redeem it and it remains holy, you can't benefit from it. There's a whole issue, it was many years ago, well it's still going on, but not as much. A number of years ago, there was a big commotion in New York and all over the world. A lot of the wigs, women's wigs come from, to make a good wig, you need, if you with human hair, you need thick hair. The Indians. Indians have very thick hair. It's great wig material. But the problem was, many women in India would shave their head as a gift to the idol worshipping. That means the hair became an object of idol worshipping. So then you couldn't benefit from the wigs. And there was they came out with this big tumult, you know, everybody loves to make tumult, and then they found that's not such a big problem. Meanwhile, thousands and thousands of women burnt their wigs.
Expensive.
Human hair is expensive. They burnt their wigs, because they were told this of a disorder. Then they found out there wasn't such a big problem, it's not necessarily true. But meanwhile, make the tumult, burn the wigs. Everybody had to buy new wigs. But I'm saying the same thing with a Nazir. The hair of a Nazir is forbidden to benefit from.
So still is that the wings of Indian is not.
Many opinions say they're still good. But nowadays they because of that whole tumult, they don't get Indian hair anymore. They get different places.
So when you want to buy the wings, you have to know which wing is coming. You have to check it?
No, today again, when you buy it from the companies, then there was a while that they gave a heksher on the sheitlich. There was a supervision on the wigs because of this. So then they hiked up the price of the wigs because they needed to pay for the supervision. It was a whole Jewish business. I said about the Indian hair, because he used to cut it for...
From India,
talking
about.
India.
Yeah.
He just cut it for idol worshipping.
Yeah. Big thing, like a few years ago about that.
Yep. But they straightened it out more or less. Of course. Okay, let's finish up this one. The Bepetach Hamerd. a firstborn male of a donkey. Okay? The Torah says like this. If you have a firstborn donkey of a... Normally, firstborn animals are only from kosher animals. Right? The pchod. There's one exception with donkeys. The Torah says if you have a firstborn donkey, you have to redeem it for a sheep. If you don't, then you have to chop off the head of the donkey. So it says, so the Gemara says, if a man gave a woman this firstborn donkey, for Kedushin is not valid. So Gemara says, name him Asnisim, make Rab Shimon, Lochir HaMishnah, cannot go according to Rab Shimon. The Tanya, because it says, Peter Chamer, Osibano, Divrei Rab Yehuda. Rab Yehuda says, a Peter Chamer, you cannot benefit from. Rab Shimon, Mater. Rab Shimon says you could. So according to Rab Shimon, it's not Osibano. So why can't a guy give Kedushin to a woman with a Peter Chamer? It's Rab Shimon says you could benefit from it. Why is it forbidden? So Gemara says, no. Here it's speaking la'achar arifa v'divrei hakol. Well, what look we said? If you don't redeem the firstborn donkey for a sheep, you have to chop off its head. Once you chop off its head, everybody says it's forbidden to benefit from, even Rab Shimon. So the Gemara says our Mishnah is speaking that a guy did kedushin with a firstborn donkey that the head was chopped off. Yeah, and he gave it to the woman. Everybody says that you can benefit from. And therefore, even Rav Shimon would agree that this Kedushin is not valid. Because it's not worth anything. It's not a good Kedushin. Okay.